Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey, especially on this Feast of St. Matthew. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Korean Martyrs, especially Andrew Kim, who was the first of them. Today, we celebrate the Feast of St. Matthew, and it is actually believed that Matthew died a martyr's death either in Persia or Ethiopia. That's not absolutely proven, but it is believed that he died a martyr as well. Let's take a look at the first reading for today. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and then 11 to 13. This is St. Paul now to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. What is your call? You are a son or daughter of God by baptism. You are called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You do not have membership in a church where you pay dues. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the call, the life call. Do you identify yourself as a disciple? Do you identify yourself as a son or daughter of God? Paul says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, the call of a son or daughter, the call of a true disciple, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body, one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace is God sharing himself with us, and grace has been given to each of us. Do you respond to that grace? Do you say, Lord, thank you for the gifts you've given me? Help me to understand what they are and teach me how to use them. Do you do that? Because God wants to enter into a personal relationship with you. And then you impart that to others. Paul to the Ephesians continues, and he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. That's what God wants us to be as sons and daughters of God, is to grow to the fullness of Christ dwelling in us. That's what changes lives. Our plans, our projects, our ideas to help people to know God, all of those have value and have a place. But the heart of it all is that we know the one to whom we belong, and we allow him, because God in his humility sets it up that way. He will never take away our free will. But if we say yes, then we allow him, in a sense, to grow in us, to mature in us, and to be able to reach countless souls through us. That's what God's about. What part are you playing in that? How open are you? How do you start? You start by just saying, Lord, here I am. I want to be your disciple. I don't know how. Teach me. I'll be saying a lot on this program that will help you, but that needs to be the disposition of your heart. Lord, teach me. Show me. Don't get into the, well, I'm not holy or I'm not good or God couldn't love me or because I've sinned so much. Don't go down that road. Repent of your sin. Go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Repent. Get a clean slate. All it's going to do is free you. You're going to know the mercy of God. It's not going to condemn you. To admit your sin is not going to condemn you. It's not admitting it that can tear you to pieces inside. God wants you to come to mature manhood, to mature womanhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. That's what God has for us. Psalm 19, their message goes out through all the earth. There are still people on the face of the earth who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Think about it. And some of them might just be walking by you on the sidewalk. They might be next to you in a grocery store. How do you live your life? I've had people say that someone would come up to them and say, how are you so peaceful in this awful situation you're in? How does that happen? It's a perfect open door. It's not me. It's the Lord who dwells in me. I'm just one who cooperates with the gift of God and the grace of God. And God has that for you too. It's a very natural way. And if your life is reflecting what people long for but don't have, and they begin to see it in you, they'll ask you about it. Might take a while, but they'll ask you about it. When you talk about evangelism, that's one of the most powerful ways. Just share your story. Share why you have joy, why you have peace, why you have hope, why you have such love in difficult circumstances. God will use it, and he'll use it for his glory, and he'll use it for your salvation. The Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Look at that. Jesus just went by and said, follow me. And he got up and followed him. And while he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw this, and they said to Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? In other words, that's a horrible thing to do. Why don't you separate yourselves like we do? He heard this, and he said, those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Brothers and sisters, we're all sick. We are. We're all sick. In our sin, every one of us. I need a Savior. Can you say that about yourself? I need a Savior. And then go to him and say, save me, Lord. Ask him every day, show me the way, Lord. Protect me. Help me. Because that puts you in a position where God will draw very close. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy. Not all the ideas of what you're going to offer up to God as sacrifice to God, but I desire mercy, that you receive my mercy and in turn you give my mercy. We have to receive it first in order to know the blessing, to know the abundance of God's grace. And then give it away in a certain sense. It'll still be yours. But give away what you have received. Share that mercy with others. When people are unkind to you. When they do something wrong. Yes, they need to be corrected. Yes. But you can do it with a spirit and an attitude that says, I'm willing to forgive. Because I have been forgiven so much. That's why we should be able to forgive, because we ourselves have been forgiven so much. Jesus says here, go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know, people can do all kinds of things to show their, quote, their devotion to God. They can have masses said. They can serve the church in different capacities. They can be seen as the go-to person. And they're willing to sacrifice because they get something out of it. They get reward. They're acknowledged. They're honored. And that's nothing to Jesus. That kind of sacrifice that you take to serve, but you serve because you want all the plaudits, you want all the honor, you want the recognition. God doesn't honor that kind of service. Externally, it looks like you're serving mightily, but are you really? And what is Jesus saying? I desire mercy. That's what I desire. In the time of that this gospel is being written, in that time there were many kinds of sacrifices being offered up to God. Some of them were idolatry, but there were many kinds of sacrifices being offered to God to appease God. And Jesus is saying, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, not the personal sacrifice, not the ritual sacrifices. That's not what I want. I want you to receive my mercy and in turn offer mercy. We can do that by his grace. We can do that by his power. St. Matthew didn't become St. Matthew easily. He was a tax collector. He was in cahoots, so to speak, with the government. And they looked down upon the people and they took from the people. They took all these taxes from the people. Matthew was not a man that people liked and wanted to be around. And all Jesus did was walk by him. When he was at the customs post, when he was actually collecting the taxes, and he said to him, follow me. He knew way down under that, he knew what the heart was, just as God knows underneath all the things that you're doing that may be wrong, underneath all the attempts to do right that have failed. He knows all of that. And just as he did to Matthew, Jesus looks to you, you, and says, follow me. Really follow me. Not just for a moment, not just for during Mass, not just at this particular event or this retreat. Follow me. Draw near to him. Give him daily time in prayer. Read the scripture daily. Read the readings of the day if you want to do it that way. But read the scripture daily. It is life-giving. You know that. Have you experienced it? Make some decisions that you may draw closer to the Lord, that you may know him and love him and serve him, and that through you, many other people may come to know him and love him and serve him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.